Thank you so much. I'm so happy this evening or tonight to just be here, and I'm glad that I can be part of this gathering tonight. I want to share something from my heart. And normally I've been involved in evangelism since my young age with Campus Crusade for Christ. Then later on, I'm working with Every Home for Christ as the national director. So we are reaching every home. From 2009, we have been able to train more than 10,000 volunteers from different denominations, 101 denominations, in partnership with Every Home for Christ Burundi, and have been pastoring from 91 in the Free Methodist Church. So I'm privileged to be here and share part of what I experienced and how I saw the power. I saw power in prayer. And every time I prayed a prophetic prayer in my life. And this has become a reality of my spiritual journey. I need to talk about, they were talking about my children. So I have three boys. This is the last born, Kefa. Red is Duncan. Then we have Echo, is 11. We have Sifa, the shortest girl, she's 25. Then Layla, she's 16. Ula is 17 now. So we are so happy that you have a balanced family. When you pray prophetically, it happens. I prayed when I was 12 to get married when I'm 30, and it happened. And I prayed to have my first car when my daughter will be 10. It happened that way. I prayed to have either two boys and two girls or three boys and three girls. We have them. So this is, we prayed before we got married. We were engaged for 6 years, dating, praying. Through challenges, not the way you can date and go to the beach, but we dated hiding the caves, and because we grew up in the wars. And as I shared in the morning, we are from two different tribes. My wife is from one tribe, I'm from another tribe, and my tribe is mixed. It's a mixed tribe of two tribes, so we are confused, a confused tribe. We don't know whether we are Hutu or Tutsi, or we are just in the middle. Maybe Hutsi. So it's confusing because in Burundi you have Tutsi and the Hutu, but we are not part of that. So we are different generation. I don't know how we can qualify ourselves. So we want to speak, as I speak of the prophetic prayer, let's see some of the dynamics of prayer. In prayer, the next slide, please. A pattern of prayer dynamics, we have a pattern of prayer, a change, a growth, an activity, or how something works, and underlining cause of change, the word shifted. So in a prophetic prayer, this dynamic, this pattern is really something you have to see. And a prophecy normally is from Greek. But what is important here is the meaning, to speak before. In other words, it's to speak in advance of or in front of. So, Jack Hayford commented on this. He said to prophesy is a proper term to describe the proclamation of God's word as it forecasts event. It may also describe the declaration of God's word forthrightly, boldly, or in confronting manner before a group of individuals telling forth God's truth and will. And I like this. I totally agree also with Dick Eastman, our president, international president, when he says that there is much we can do after we have prayed, but nothing we can do until we have prayed. So in his book, he wrote this statement, which I read and I liked it. So prophetic prayer is therefore the Holy Spirit empowered capacity to pray with a prophetic anointing. I do believe when the Lord takes you into a journey and you pray for his direction, he guides you. Biblically, we have some references, like Ezekiel 6. Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. And say, O mountain of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, to the hills, to the ravines, and to the valleys. Indeed, I, even I, will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy you, your high places. Thus says the Lord God, pound your fists and stamp your feet, and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the houses of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. Mark 11, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I like this. So this is a praying without doubting. The prophetic prayer amplifies a threefold biblical overview. The prophetic prayer involves words of authority. The prophetic prayer in 1 Kings 17:1, according to the New King James Version, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these days except at my words. So when you prophesy, the word has a place in whatever you say. Luke, then he went down to the Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and showed teaching them, and was teaching them of this on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his words was with authority. So when you prophesy, you have to have words of authority. Prophetic prayer involves acts of authority. Words, acts. Then when you act, 2 Kings, we can see some foundational scripture. Elijah had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows, actions. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it, acting. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hand. Sometimes you're praying and you're not taking an action. You think God will do it for you. You have to do something. Sometimes when I was young, my dad wanted me to get married when I was still 18. And I said, Dad, no, I'm too young to get married. I'll get married. I'm 30. He said, no, when you get married at that age, I'll be dead. It happened that way. He died when I was 29. So don't pronounce any bad words against you. It can happen that way. Don't tell anybody or even your child you are foolish. It can happen that way. So don't joke with words or actions. So here you see man of God acting. So when you pray, act also. And he said, open the east window. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. Actions. Pray with actions. Then he said, take the arrows. So he took them. And they said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck three times and stopped. Have to follow instructions when you pray prophetically. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times when you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. Instructions. Prophetic prayer involves deeds of authority. Words of authority, acts of authority, deeds of authority. Second Chronicles, according to the NIV, we have two references. There was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the days of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. The priests and the Levites stood to bless the people, and God heard them, for their prayer reached heaven, his holy dwelling place. When all this had ended, the Israelites who were there went out to the towns of Judah, smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah's poles. They destroyed the high places and the altars throughout Judah and Benjamin and in Ephraim and Manasseh. Deeds. They did something. In Matthew chapter 5, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Hope you're doing something. If you are doing something, you are praying prophetically. And Mark 14 says, I tell you the truth. Wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deeds will be remembered and discussed. You have something that people will tell, will remember. Sometimes we are building a church somewhere with a team from here. We went to Rutongo. Rutongo is up in the mountains, very, very, very cold for us. It was good for the team anyway. They enjoyed the weather. It was somehow cool, but we were shrinking. It was very cold for us, but for them it was good. But unfortunately, they had no place for bathing, no toilet, nothing. So they suffered really. We will remember that. People of Rutongo remember always how you sacrificed yourself from your comfort zone to Rutongo. Those were good deeds. And the church now is about 100 and plus people. So people will remember that. What will people remember about you here? You have to leave a legacy, at least something. Do something so that you can be remembered. So the anointing of prophetic prayer. There is an anointing when you have a prophetic prayer. Jeremiah has a model. When he was commissioned, of the calling and commissioning of Jeremiah, there is a model we have to follow if we want to pray prophetically. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sacrificed you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I like the vision, nations. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. God, in 2 Samuel, God's Spirit spoke through me. His words took shape on my tongue. All these scriptures are for you to see how praying prophetically has a room in our spiritual life. John, the first epistle of John, I've written to warn you about those who are trying to deceive you, but they are not match for what is embedded deeply within you, Christ's anointing, no less. You don't need any of their so-called teaching. This is according to the Message Bible. Christ's anointing teaches you the truth on everything you need to know about yourself and him, uncontaminated by a single lie. Live deeply in what you are taught. I like reading the scriptures instead of thinking of making my own words. As we define the prophetic prayer, according to Cindy Jacob in his book, an arguing to pray given by the Holy Spirit for situations or circumstances about which you have very little knowledge in the natural. You pray for the prayer requests that are on the heart of God. God will direct you to pray to bring forth his will on earth as it is willed in heaven. I like this man of God. I like this person. I like how he defined for us what he understood by a prophetic prayer. Jeremy, in his commissioning, he had 6 assignments to do. Assignment 1, number 1, was to root out. So when you pray prophetically, you have a guide. You have some steps you have to go. Praying prophetically, Jeremiah is told to root out. And rooting is a root on a plant is a hidden supply of source of a plant. Then he's told to root out. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, the New King James Version gives us how we can understand the rooting out. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. For to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another discerning of spirits. Let's talk about revelation. The 3 revelation gifts we have just mentioned, we have wisdom. It's a supernatural guidance. And the knowledge is a supernatural understanding. Then the discernment is a supernatural sensitivity. So you pray in that way, God gives you all you need to be able to grasp His will in your life. In summary, the prophetic prayer for the rooting, the prophetic prayer is to penetrate so deeply into a spiritual circumstance that we are able to deal directly with the primary source of that condition. And the assignment number two is to pull down. Jeremiah was pulling down, which is defined as to exert force into in order to move something from one position to another. Pulling down on a lower direction. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Same word, pulling down, is used by the scriptures. Casting down arguments and evil and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So summarizing, you can say prophetic prayer helps remove an object or a person that has been elevated and fixed in a high position. Assignment number three. Don't get tired. There are just six assignments. We are on three. Assignment number three, please. To destroy, to cause to cease, or to cause to exist totally or utterly. It's an assignment you have if you're praying prophetically. Jeremiah 51, you are my battle axe and sword, says the Lord. With you I will shatter nations and destroy many kingdoms. Isaiah 41:15. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small, and make the hills like chaff. In summary, prophetic prayer can literally subdue or defeat someone or something utterly. Assignment four, to throw down. You know, people like pulling others down. Eh? When you're doing something, people don't want to see your success. This is an African problem. In all developing countries, they like to pull their neighbors or their friends down just negatively. But, you know, pruning is hard. I like this place because there is a lot of vineyards, and sometimes I visit when they are pruning. Sometimes you can be pulled down while you are being pruned. It's good, it's healthy, but it's hard. But some people can pull you down when they are just against you for nothing. So it's to propel through the air, any manner, to propel with intensity of action, suggesting energy and force. This is throw. And once you throw something down, it breaks. If I can throw this here, it will break. So it's a tough assignment. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, and you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. The scriptures says, arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. This afternoon I was reading Isaiah 49, the last verses, three first verses. They are very difficult to read. When you read them to somebody, or can even just run away. I was also reading Psalm 143, verse 12. You can read that verse. You read it to somebody, you can say, this guy is really finishing me. I'm totally done. Some scriptures are direct when it comes to some tough assignments. Revelation 12 says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole nation. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Revelation 19, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. He was clothed with a robe dipped into blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him in white horse. I'm about to finish. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. That with, here maybe you don't have an idea of a sword. In my country, they use it a lot to chop heads. It's not to just to find or chicken or anything. Oh, it's used. You know, we've been in war for many years, so swords, we don't want to see swords anyway. When I read this word, I tremble. And himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself threads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of God Almighty. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In summary, prophetic prayer can be used by God to release his power suddenly with supernatural energy and force. We are going to the second last assignment from five, to build. When you destroy, you have to plan to build also. Some people are just destroying and then don't build. Destroying the community, not building the community. To give form, because when you destroy, when you break, when you throw, it breaks. So you have to give it a form. To give form to something according to a definite plan or process. Go through, according to Isaiah, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, take out the stones, lift up a banner for the peoples. New King James Version. And indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, says the to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his word is with him, and his word before him. Isaiah 58, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. Like this time, you are facing a very serious drought anyway. And I was on top of that mountain. Thank you for taking me there. Somebody took me there, and I was very happy. Then I learned that there is a lot of drought. I was here 6 months ago, maybe. It was also said that it was a drought. And sometimes when you have such experiences, maybe it causes us to pray hard and ask God to help us. And strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall rise up the foundation of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the branch the restorer of streets to dwell in. Matthew 16, and I shall say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. In summary, the prophetic prayer not only removes obstacles, it helps prepare the way to put something that honors God in place of what has been removed. So prepare to replace something with something else. As I finish, sermon number 6 is to plant. To plant, which is to put something into a place where it has the capacity to grow. Sometimes you plant anyhowly and it doesn't grow. Then you blame yourself. So you have to plan ahead of time. Know how and where and when to plant so that it can grow. So as the church planters, I see church planting. There is a friend, they call Worldwide Church Planters in the USA. When they write to me and say, we want to plant a church, say, we have to plan well. Some places, we have to think carefully on how the church can grow. And I remember Paul preaching and planting churches, but remember in Turkey. He was in Turkey for sometimes, Paul. But remember, Turkey is now 99.99 Islam. But he was there. He did a lot of ministry in Turkey. Why is his Christianity failing in Turkey? If you plant, you don't discipleship, you don't plant somewhere in a fertile land, water it, do the follow-up, it might fail. So it's a good example when we are dealing with Islamization. We always give an example of Turkey. I speak French more French than English. Macedonia, Macedon, all this region is nearly in Turkey. But we don't see a church now. When we go to Turkey, we have a problem. We don't even know what to do. But that's where Paul stayed for a long time. So plant somewhere and check whether it will grow. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that I have watched over them to pluck up, to bring down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict. So I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. So all these assignments, you have to do all of them. You don't do half. If you destroy, plant to plant. He says, I will watch them destroying, afflicting, doing this, but I will also watch them planting and building. I like this scripture. Psalm 126, 5 to 6, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. This is for planters. This is something that gives us hope. Sometimes we plant. Planting is not easy. In our area, because we do artisanal farming, we plant using our hands, beans or rice. And sometimes you can go planting your beans or whatever while you don't have food in the evening, because you want to plant for the next season to have more or much food. Sometimes it's not easy to plant when you are not having something. So you plant in tears, but you forget that when you are reaping. He who continually goes forth weeping, hearing seeds for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. As I finish, we've just gone through words, acts and deeds of authority. Remember, A prophetic prayer involves those things. And it has its anointing. The assignments, you have to root, pull, destroy, throw. But you have to build and plant. As I pray with you guys, the prophetic prayer often leads to intercessors, the intercessors to become an answer to this or her very, to his or her very own prayers. So when you pray prophetically, it goes back to you. Don't think you are just praying for others. It is also a reality in your life. As we pray, you may answer questions yourself. What have you been praying for? How have you been praying? Plan to pray prophetically, like Jeremiah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share about prophetic prayer. You've been teaching us from day one of our salvation, and I've seen your faithfulness in our lives. Father, let me pray that we keep our hearts before you and we sharpen our understanding so that, Lord, we can work according to your will. We can follow your guide, your direction. Father, I pray that you will help this church to understand that, God, it's your will that we pray prophetically, and we pray having a determination to see the fruitfulness of your faithfulness in our lives. Father, we pray tonight that you speak to us. And as we pray, we have obstacles, we have many challenges, but we always believe in you. I pray that we bring fruition, we bring solutions, and we bring our prayers to an end. And we shall rise up and proclaim your holy name and say, yes, our Lord is faithful. We have seen him through our lives. We have seen him working in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to be together tonight. May your name be glorified. In the mighty and powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Thank you so much.